comes our way. We thank you that we can come to your presence this morning as family in Jesus. We pray that you would use this time to advance your kingdom in our lives and through our lives into the world. We give this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. We hope you're having a good day today. How many of you guys started off to a good day? You got up on fire, just boom, out of bed. All right, okay, couple hands. How many of you guys just kind of like, you're glad it's Sunday, you didn't have to get up real early, you know, just kind of get up and stuff like that? I think it's kind of like me. I think I told you guys this. Every morning I get up at 5 o'clock. Not because I want to, but because that's my dog. When my dogs don't know the difference between a weekend and weekday. They always get up at 5, so I get up at 5, and they're very persistent little buggers. You know, their tails start banging on things and stuff like that, so I get up at 5 every morning. I did get up at 5 this morning. I spent a little time up, and then I went back to bed for like an hour, and then I got back up, so that kind of works. I happen to be using, just so you know, I'm using my mother-in-law's Bible. She passed away back in 2019, I think, maybe 2000. Anyway, and I got her Bible, and she has actually, every verse in the Bible, she actually circled the number because she read it over a number of times, and she's got this thing marked up and everything, and I think she put it in a box when she's done because it looks like it's in perfect shape, but it's been read many times. And so it just encouraged me to spend more time in God's Word every day, spending time with God every day. I know she got up early, 5 o'clock in the morning. She spent time with the Lord. So we can't just use Sunday as a time to spend time with the Lord. It's every day we need to spend time with the Lord. So I wanted to talk today about seeing like Jesus. See like Jesus. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. I wanted to tell you, just get a little ministry update. Because Chinese Baptist Church supports Waves Campus Ministries. We've been on the college campuses now for like 32 years. This is our 32nd year on campus. We originally started out, and we get up in front of churches and talk and share our ministry, and it would be Bob, Sheila, and Kelsey. Kelsey was our oldest. At the time we got in ministry, she was 1 year old. Then it went from Bob, Sheila, Kelsey, Molly. 3 years later, we picked up Molly in the mix. Then 3 years after that was Bob, Sheila, Kelsey, Molly, Haley. And then we picked up a brother, a son-in-law, Zach, who's in the picture, who's the tallest guy there and has the longest arms. My arms are way too short for doing a group picture. That was taken a little while ago. So we went from going up and sharing to Bob and Sheila, to Bob, Sheila, Kelsey, Bob, Sheila, Kelsey, Molly, Bob, Sheila, Kelsey, Haley. And now we're back down to Bob and Sheila once again. We've kind of done the whole process. And we thank you that the Chinese Baptist Church has been there for a good part of that time to support us in your prayers, in your finances, and your words of encouragement to the ministry. I just want to share a couple things that kind of happen on a regular basis. People come to Jesus Christ in God's timing, right? So there's two pictures on the left-hand side there. And that's, one is a guy named Fredo. He's up there with me and a girl by the name of Nuriels. And on the bottom, there's a guy named Bruno. And so we at our camp, the campuses that we're on, we have like prayer stations and outreach tables. And so about a week and a half ago, Fredo came by just needing prayer. Just, hey, I need some prayer. And he kind of stood behind some others because we were talking to some others. And when his turn kind of came, he stepped up. We prayed for him, and within 60 minutes, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. He asked Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. He had some background. Same kind of idea with Bruno. We were in a Bible study outside at the North Campus of Miami-Dade, and Nuriellis, who I call a lost person magnet. In other words, lost people, she invites them and they come to our meetings. So Nuriellis, right before one of our small group Bible studies, she says, well, let me just go talk to somebody. So she gets up, talks to Bruno, and brings Bruno over. And he sits in for the Bible study, doesn't have a whole lot of religious background. And the topic that day was pretty much what I had talked about here before. In this world, you will have trouble. Well, long story short, at the end of our devotional time, Bruno says, you know, that's absolutely true. This talk was just for me. In this world, you will have trouble. I just now, when Nuriel's came over to me, I just broke up with my girlfriend and I'm having a hard time. And he went on to explain, well, he prayed to receive Jesus that same day in about a 60 minutes time. We have people to come to Christ in 60 minutes. In the middle, that's Brandy. Brandy has taken 6 years to come to Jesus. And just this last January, she asked Jesus to be her Lord and Savior into her life. And we had her on the college campuses with us for years. She had heard the gospel over and over and over again. I could share with you how we spent time investing into our lives. I changed the brakes on our car, all kinds of stuff. So we see people that come to Christ in 60 minutes, 6 years, and then that upper picture in the corner, that's me and Magdiel. Magdiel actually became a Christian in our ministry about 10, 12 years ago, married someone in our ministry called Irene. And so I'm walking the dogs 2 weeks ago in my neighborhood, and I take them on different paths all over. And I just happen to go this one way, and I turn the street, and I walk down a couple houses, and I hear this person yelling my name, "Hey, Bob, hey, Bob." I look over, and there's Magdiel right there. And he comes over, and he's all excited. He says, you know, I was just praying to God. He's telling God how he's discouraged, and things have been happening in his life, and he's got a lot of responsibilities. His wife had two twin girls. They're like 4 months old and stuff. And he said, I was just praying that God would encourage me, and here you come around the corner. And I prayed with him. He was crying. We were hugging. And so it's exciting to be in ministry sharing Jesus. God's blessed us with that and blessed us with you guys coming alongside of us. We couldn't do what we're doing without you guys being actively involved in our ministry. So that's kind of just a little ministry update. I do want to get into God's Word today, talking about seeing like Jesus. Now, how many of people like people? Just show of hands if you like people. Okay, if you don't like people, put your hand up anyway, okay, because it's going to look bad. Okay, how many of you like people? Okay, how many of you guys, now it's just you can kind of, in your mind, how many of you guys like books more than people? There's probably a few of you. Okay, they're putting their hands up. Right, books more than people. You'd rather just like hang out by yourself and just kind of, you know, let everybody else go their way. One of my daughters, Kelsey, she'll be in like a social setting and just for a little bit, and then she'll be like, I'm going to my room. You know, because just like, you know, she needs that little space. I'm more of a people person, if you don't know that. I like people. How many of you guys love crowds? Does anyone love a crowd? Just a crowd of people? You love being around mass chaos? Okay, good. I'm glad you're with me. You know, I don't like crowds. I like people. I do not like crowds. All right? I don't get up in the morning and go, hey, man, you know, if I left a little later today, I could get stuck in a real traffic jam. That's going to be really exciting. No, we all go, I got to beat the traffic out. My wife, if she doesn't leave by 6:40 in the morning, she's stuck in traffic. All right? I don't think any of us likes to be stuck in traffic. Not too long ago, I was saying, boy, Miami would be great if it weren't for all the people. Right? You know, like, it'd be great if they just cut the population in half. And not too long ago, it's maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, we had a hurricane that was supposed to blow through the area, right? It's going to be a big hurricane. They're telling people to evacuate, get out of Miami. And I don't know what the name of the storm was. Can't remember. But anyway, so I remember people lining up at the gas station and at Publix to buy water. Of course, I guess they didn't think they could just turn on the tap. Water to get water. They had to buy bottled water. So they're lined up buying bottled water. The Publix is emptying out of stuff. People are filling up with gas and they're getting out of town. Like, we got to leave. And I understood in watching the news that it took people like 8 to 10 hours just to get to Orlando from Miami because the traffic was like bumper to bumper all the way up. And my wife and I are like, we're not getting in that traffic. No. So I have a sister. We live in Cutler Bay, which is kind of lower near the water. And I have a sister that lives in Kendall. So we're like, we made arrangements to go stay with our sister, my sister, in Kendall. Well, it's Friday night. The storm's supposed to hit like Saturday night. And they tell people at that time, if you haven't left yet, it's too late to go. And you go like, dun, 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 you know, too late to go. What's going to happen? And I remember even talking to my neighbors. They're like, oh, we're staying. And I'm going like, this could be the last time we ever see them again, right? So my wife and I on Friday night will say, well, let's just go, you know, see what's up with Janet and, you know, check the things out, the accommodations, make sure the dogs are okay there. And because we're going to go on Saturday morning, but we decided to drive over there on Friday night. We get on the road on Friday night. There's nobody out there. Nobody out there. I'm like, and I basically said that to my wife. I said, this is great. This is how Miami should be. And so I'm sitting there. We're sitting at a red light. And I'm going like, I wonder how long it would take to get to Orlando. Because I have another sister that lives in Orlando and family up there. And we looked at it, you know, punched it up. And it's like 3.5 hours. We're like, 3.5 hours to get to Orlando? This is great. Forget Janet. So my wife went home, packed up Kelsey and her stuff, and they went up Friday night. I got on the road with the two dogs. Now, again, this is supposed to be a major hurricane, right? We had everything off the ground, pictures of everything, everything with plastic and stuff like that. So Saturday morning, I get on the road, throw the two dogs in the car. We're driving down the turnpike. Nobody is on the road. Not a single car is on the road. I think the whole way up, we made past like 4 cars, and like 3 of them were cops. Nothing. Nothing. And that's great. I love that. It was amazing. No traffic, no crowds. Perfect. I don't like going to theme parks when there's crowds. Anyone been to a theme park and go, I just can't wait till it gets crowded? No, we like to go when there's nobody there. We don't like to stand in line. We like fast pass and all this kind of stuff because we want to skip all those people. Those people, we're like, I love people, but these kind of nameless faces, I could do without. That's me personally. I want to go to places when it's empty. Nobody's there. Well, let's look at this passage here. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, okay? Now, Matthew's a great book. There's different books that you can kind of point somebody in the direction when they are interested in becoming a Christian. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're kind of one of the four that we point to. Matthew is kind of like this. Matthew talks about Matthew chapter 1 talks about the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2 talks about like the wise men coming. And Matthew chapter 3, it continues on. Matthew chapter 3 talks about Jesus' baptism. Matthew chapter 4 talks about the temptation of Satan. Matthew chapter 5 begins the Beatitudes. Blessed are they. Matthew chapter 6 and 7 is a Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus begins his ministry, and he spends a lot of time, if you read Matthew chapter 8 and up to the spot in Matthew chapter 9, healing people, delivering them from demons, and on and on and on. So Jesus, right here, he takes a little break, and this is what it says. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 35, it says, and Jesus went throughout the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. So it says, Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. Why? Because they were helpless. They were harassed and they were like sheep without a shepherd. Different than what I would look at them for the most part. I would say, oh, crowds, man. I'm not going to find a place to park. What's going on here? Can't I just order that online? Crowds. Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, brother and sister in Christ, I think sometimes we can look at the world with indifference. We see lost people, maybe our neighbors, coworkers, and we just kind of go, I'm a Christian. Eh. I found a church, they can too. It's kind of like indifferent. You know, they go, they do the world, I do my world. We have to mix a little bit if we have to, but I really don't want to get involved too much with these people because, you know, really they're not a believer and they're not trusting Jesus and, you know, there's all kinds of issues that can come with that. So I'm just going to just not get involved too much. Or sometimes we can look at people in the crowds with disdain and contempt. Can't believe those people. Can't believe my neighbor. Can't believe that guy who cut me off in traffic. Man, if everyone were like me, a Christian, life would be great. Those people in the world. You know, I just can't wait till Jesus comes and takes me out of here away from these people. Oh, man. The bike's driving up. You know, one of the things that gets me, sometimes you go up, if you ever go up Old Cutler, the bikes on Saturday and Sunday, you can't go around them. It's like a mass. These Pelotons, whatever they're called, they're like a mass, and they won't even let you by. It's kind of like, really? Really, we're going to play this game? Share the road? Right, you know? You get that kind of contempt and disdain for the lost because it's just kind of because they're faceless kind of people. And we just look at them like that. We look out and say, you know, I can't wait for Jesus to come. People. But what does Jesus have? You know, Jesus had compassion. Jesus had compassion. You know, Jesus came because God is a compassionate God. The Bible says that Christ died for sinners, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. And Jesus tells the story of three lost things. Three lost things in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Can you imagine these religious guys? Probably like a lot of us in church, kind of, you know, you have like a, you know, you gathering around, and all these other people come in and kind of mob the thing, and they're kind of like, "Huh? Look at these people. Good grief. Get these people out of here." So Jesus sat them down and talked about three lost things, right? Three lost things. The first was the lost sheep. We know the story about the man had 100 sheep. He loses one, and what does he say? "Don't worry about it. I got 99. No, he says this. He said, he went out, searched for the lost sheep, found the lost sheep, brought it back, and he said this, "Rejoice with me, for I've found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Why did Jesus give the story of the lost sheep? He wanted to show God's love for people. God's love for everyone. There'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who comes back to God. That's God's heart. And we continue reading about the lost coin. The lost coin. We know the story about the woman had 10 very valuable coins. She loses one, and what does she go? "I got 9. Forget about it." No, she searches the house. Have any of you guys ever done that search of the house for stuff? Like, you had to look like everywhere, and either you found it or you didn't find it. You know, once, I don't know how it happened, in my car, in my Mazda, I dropped like my license somehow, and it slid down between the console and the seat, and it went all the way down. It was like almost like a sliding board. I went, and it went under a piece of carpet that was up a little bit because there's some wires, and went down in, like it was hidden. It was like against the metal on the bottom of the car, hidden by a piece of carpet. I searched everywhere, in the house, out of the house, all over. I searched everywhere, and I just looked, you know, I'm like, I know it's got to be here somewhere. Do you ever say that? I know it's got to be here somewhere. I found it. I'm like, it's got to be in here. And, you know, Kim just disappeared, and I dug out the whole thing, moved the seat forward. And I'm like, I lifted up that flap, and I'm like, I looked in there, and I could just barely see a piece of the license. I'm like, I pulled it out, and guess what I did? I rejoiced. I'm like, yes, came into the house. I found the license that was lost, and now it's found. You know, I don't have to go through all this nonsense to get a new license. This is great. That whole idea of finding something. Now, my wife once, she lost her keys. You ever lose your keys? We searched everywhere for them, like she had a stack of keys. We figured she threw them out. We never found those keys. We figured somehow she just dumped them out into the gun throw out. But anyway, that whole idea of looking for something so hard that when you finally found it, you're like, yes, I've got it. We've all been there. And that's the example. She finds the coin. She lights a lamp, looks around, finds it. And what does it say? When she found it, she called together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." I found it. I found this coin. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Again, that whole idea. Jesus bringing out the fact that lost people matter, that people matter, even one. And then we know about the lost son, the prodigal son, as it's called. And we know the story, the prodigal son leaves, spends his inheritance, and comes back and says to his father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant. And the father, you know, puts a robe on him, puts a ring on his finger and says, we need to celebrate. For my son that was dead was now alive. He was lost and found, and they began to celebrate. God's heart for people. God's heart. Demonstrating again, God's heart that he loves people. And he wants people to be drawn to him. That's what God wants. That's God's heart. Now, if you remember the story a little bit, the other brother was all ticked off, right? Kind of like we would be. Things were going pretty good without, you know, just me here. You know, now I was expecting to get all this stuff. And what does the father really say to him? He says, listen, you'll get yours. Don't worry. But our son is back. Our son is back. The son who was gone, I thought was dead, is back. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's have a party. That's God's heart. And as believers in Christ, you know, we have to pray. And I pray this a lot. God, give me the eyes of Jesus. God, give me compassion. The compassion that Jesus had every day for lost people. He went out of his way. He stopped, ministered to them. I want to continue reading in just a second, but I want to challenge you. Where is your crowd? Where is your crowd? All right? Sometimes it's closer to home than we think, but there's those that are around the world and around town. There's like an ultra festival, ultra music festival. Is that going on this week? Okay. I even if I like that music, I wouldn't go near it. You know, it's like crowd. You hear people getting injured and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, no, I'm staying far away from that. But there's people all around that we can come in contact with. The person that cuts you off in traffic. The person who does something. You know, person who hits your car. I think I told you about the story. Somebody hit my car, and I thought I hit them until I saw their surveillance cameras, and they actually hit me. And they, when it first happened, I was like, I was looking this way, and I thought my car rolled out and bumped their back bumper. And I'm like, I get out, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm really sorry I hit you. And the guy was like, yeah, well, you know, these Tesla bumpers are pretty expensive, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, look, just go get a quote. Let me know. Well, a security guard happened to see me talking to this guy, and he said, you know, he hit you. Like, this guy actually backed up to try to move around some cars while I was looking this way. And I'm like, oh, yeah? Cool. So I saw the video, and I go watch it, and sure enough, he backed into me. Of course, there was more joy in that than over, you know, kind of like finding the license. I was like, yes. So the next time I see him, you know, he's like, I see him, how you doing? He's like, I haven't got that quote for the bumper yet. I said, no need, because you hit me. And he's like, I don't think so. And I said, well, you want to watch the video? He's like, okay, no, that's okay. You know, but people do those things, right? You go like, people. Jesus had compassion on all those people, even the ones that crucified him. He said, forgive them. Now, with this guy, I tried to be as compassionate as possible. I said, listen, you take care of your thing. I'll take care of mine. He's like, and then he kind of backed down. You know, he's like, no, tell me what it's going to cost. I'm like, don't worry about it. The relationship is more important than a few $100 to get my bumper. He's very encouraged. I see him from time to time, and now we're like, you know, fairly close. I mean, we don't go out to eat or something, but he's, you know, it's that whole idea. What is God going to do through that situation? Maybe at work or school, who are those people in the crowd that you just go, you see with indifference or you see with disdain? You know, we all have somebody at work, right? I mean, that you go like, okay. It's just, as soon as you hear their name or see them, you're like, oh, this is not going to be good. It's not going to be good. This meeting isn't going to go well, right? Or this situation isn't going to happen. That maybe a person whatever they do to you, whatever happens, you go, ah, I don't want to happen. Do we look at them with disdain or at best indifference? Or do we have compassion? Do we have compassion? Those around the corner. I mentioned about my neighbors who threatened to, like, beat me up or kill me, right, or something. Like, ah, they're around the corner. What do I have on them, you know? I think I mentioned the neighbor right next to me. Maybe I didn't mention this. You may think bad of my dogs. But my dogs have killed two of their cats, you know. My dogs don't go out of their way to kill the cats. But they come over the fence, right? They come over the fence, you know, like, they come over the fence, so what can I do? I mean, I can't go, no, the dogs get them and whatever. So about a year ago, the dogs got the cat, the first cat. About a week ago, got the second cat. But about a year ago, they got the first cat. And I knew it was my neighbor's cat, right? I knew it. I seen this cat in their yard, in my yard. It sits up on the top of the fence. The dogs got it, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So in this whole process, as we're trying to get the dogs off the cats, and Kelsey, one of my daughters, is trying to help me. She's got some gloves on and stuff. She's trying to get the dog separated, the cat and stuff. The cat's still alive at that point. Well, the cat, like, scratches her and bites her, right? So she takes the cat over. And by the time she gets it over to the neighbor's yard, it dies. And she says, I need to know if your cat had any rabies shots. And the woman goes, oh, that's not our cat. It's like, oh. So my daughter had to go through a whole series of rabies shots and all that kind of stuff, because they said it wasn't their cat. Ugh, talk about aggravation. Well, do I have compassion on them? Do I have disdain on them? You know, whenever we start looking at things to get a little the same, what did Jesus do? You know, many times we as believers would say, I want to be like Jesus. Do we? Do we really want to be like Jesus, that self-sacrificing? And then at home, you know, lots of times we can be way more forgiving and have the eyes of Jesus on strangers than we can on our own family. Right? Maybe not. Maybe. I know sometimes that's the way it can be because we know them so closely and all the stuff that comes up. And I want to encourage you, if you have a problem, more than likely it's a relationship problem. Things that happen in our lives, if there's a problem, it's a relationship problem. And how do we look on others? Do we look on others with that indifference, disdain, or will you say, I'm going to have compassion? I'm going to have compassion. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about that people need to come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil who's taken them captive. People are not the enemy. They've been taken captive by the enemy. And Jesus realized that when he lived this life, his life on this planet, that the enemy isn't people. And we have to look at people that way, that we look at them with compassion. Now, if we continue in this passage, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Now, Jesus ties these both things together, that he has compassion and he goes out and he has compassion on these people, and because they're like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says to his disciples to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. We look out and see the harvest full of lost people doing lost people stuff all the time. And Jesus says, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Now, a lot of people would go like, okay, well, that, you know, I could do that. I could pray. God, look at all the lost people out here. I would pray that you would send laborers into the harvest. But if we jump ahead to Matthew chapter 10, guess who goes out into the harvest? The same people that Jesus said, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. So they're their answer to their own prayers. Pray, go out, go out. And Jesus wanted them to go out with his eyes to see the lostness. Because people are ultimately like sheep without a shepherd. We are so blessed, especially if you become a Christian at a young age in your life. You are so blessed because you have God's Spirit residing in you. And you have all the things that God promises us as believers in him. A peace that passes understanding. Direction and all these things that that God says that we are joint heirs with Jesus in our salvation. We have the assurance of our salvation. We have the hope that God is with us and God sees all situations and God works all things for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God sees all that and works in our lives and through us. The world does not have that. People who are not believers are helpless, haggard, harassed, like sheep without a shepherd. That's why lost people do lost people stuff. Even Christians do lost people stuff. Amen? Right? We do lost people stuff. How can we expect a lost world to do any better? Jesus looked out and he had compassion. He had compassion because he realized that they were like sheep without a shepherd. I want to encourage you today to think about how many people you know, or maybe just one or two that you know that would fit into that list of the crowd, that annoying crowd, the crowd that you maybe are just indifferent about, or the ones that you have contempt for in your lives, and think, that, you know, what is their biggest issue? Their biggest issue isn't that they disagree with you. Their biggest issue is they need Jesus. They need Jesus. And how is God going to use you in that process? In that process, to look out on the world and have compassion. When we go out of here today, will we have compassion on people? Or will we look at them with indifference or disdain? Brother and sister in Christ, we're called to look at people with compassion and to be the ones going out into the harvest field. In just a moment, we're gonna partake in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is that whole idea of when Jesus died on the cross, the night he was betrayed. He was sharing with his disciples. He was sharing with his disciples what it meant to have the Lord's Supper. He was talking about that he was going to leave them and that he would be betrayed. And as you remember, even Peter said something like, I know all these other bums, they're going to leave you, not me. I will never leave you. I will be with you. I will be there. And Jesus, knowing the future, says, before the sun comes up, you're going to deny me three times. No, not me. Not me. And I think if I were playing the part of Jesus, I'd be like, oh yeah? All you guys, you're all going to desert me. You're all going to do this to me. And therefore, I will act a certain way toward you. I will rebuke you. I will separate. When I see you again, when I rise again, I will have nothing to do with you. I'm going to start over. He could have acted with indifference or disdain to these same people who would deny him. Even one who said, I will not deny you like everybody else. And Jesus had compassion. Jesus had compassion. When he went to the cross, he said, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. So the eyes of Jesus. The eyes of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the eyes of Jesus, the compassion that you showed each one of us in our lives, not because of our own righteousness, but far from that, Lord. We're so unrighteous. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that Jesus died, in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Lord, I pray that you would give us the eyes of Jesus today, the eyes of Jesus this week, this month, this year, to see people as you see people. Lord, help us not to look out on the crowds, the people that annoy us, whether it's at home or on the road somewhere or at work, to look at people with indifference or disdain, but look at them with compassion. Lord, give us that, the eyes and the heart of compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.